This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Body Politics. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. A serious illness can really impact how you feel about your body. It can give you some appreciation of all the things a healthy body does, or it can leave you feeling like your body is broken. Filmmaker Emily McKenzie is interested in the ways breast cancer changes people. Hey, Emily.
Hi, Maiken.
And Emily, you've been working for a couple of years on a documentary about people's experience with breast cancer. It's called Tapestries. What do you want to get to with your stories?
I was interested in how breast cancer affected people's sense of identity. In my reporting, I found voices that don't really fit so neatly into the pink box that breast cancer stories often come packaged in. And today, I want to share with you two stories, two very different people, but they both have had double mastectomies and have gone through a process of struggling to understand their bodies and be at home in their bodies. So I'd like to start with Shay Sharp from Baltimore.
As a woman, you're supposed to have breasts. I'm supposed to have those.
Shay was 26 when she learned she had to get a double mastectomy.
I did immediate reconstruction. Once they took the breasts, we put in tissue expanders to prepare to get implants.
Shay didn't really think much about the decision. It was a pretty common surgery, and it seemed like there was little risk.
You know, they mentioned possibly being numb at the incision site, but never thinking that the entire breast is becoming, you know, going to become numb. Oh, yeah, we're going to rebuild these breasts, but you're not going to be able to feel anything.
After that initial reconstruction, her body rejected one of the implants, and Shay had her surgeons replace it. A year later, it happened again.
So we took both implants out at that time.
Cancer had already made Shay feel less sexy, less desirable.
So you're wondering, like, is somebody still going to see me as normal with all of this, you know, cancer baggage, you know? I felt like I needed that. You know, I needed to feel as womanly as possible, even with these ailments. I still wanted to be desirable, you know, from the guys I were dating or whoever I was going to be intimate with, whoever I was going to end up with.
After two rejections, Shay still wanted breasts, but her body couldn't take the silicone implants. So her doctors offered an alternative, a surgery in which they created breasts using tissue and fat from her abdomen. The surgery was complicated, and the recovery was going to be brutal. She'd be out of commission for weeks. But still, she decided to do it. Her third reconstruction. And it was a success. For a time. After a few years, the cancer came back, and she was facing a possible fourth reconstruction. Shay says at that point, everything began to shift in her mind.
How many times am I going to have to go through this? How much more scarring can my body take? How much more skin do I even have for reconstruction? I'm tired. I don't want any more surgeries. I don't want any more cuts. I don't want my body cut on anymore. There's no more skin left. Like, what else can you go? What else can I do? And they got to the point, you know what? I'm not even going to do reconstruction.
Shay was convinced. Her boyfriend at the time wasn't. He felt uncomfortable with the idea of her having no breasts. And she says that when she was honest with herself, she understood where he was coming from.
I almost really can't be 100% mad at him, because he's trying to do to me what I had actually done to myself all these years. Trying to make that representation of looking like a woman make me look complete. I was like, wait a minute, did he just do to me what I was doing to myself all these years?
That was really the turning point for Shay.
It took a while, but I made this decision and I was okay with it. So once I became okay with Shay, like, it didn't matter whether I had boobs, no boobs. I'm fine with it. I like it. I don't need a bra. It feels nice. You know, even with no breasts, even with, you know, no lashes, brows, hair, no ovaries, I'm still a 100% woman. And this is me. This is it. Take it or leave it.
Emily, Shay sounds relieved.
Yeah, Shay was really able to embrace her new reality, her new body. And in fact, at this point, she now has a wonderful nonprofit called Shay Sharp's Pink Wishes. And they do sort of special wishes for young breast cancer patients. So she's become a mentor and a role model for a lot of people facing breast cancer.
Who else did you want us to meet? Who else did you meet in your journey talking to all these different people?
We're going to hear from Eli, who wants to remain private and not use a last name. Eli lives in Oakland and, like Shay, was very young at diagnosis, only 33. Eli identifies as trans non-binary and uses they-them pronouns. Eli's relationship with their chest had always been a struggle.
So I'm kind of like in the mirror, like really kind of just trying to get my breasts out of the way so I can kind of like imagine what I'm going to look like with a flat chest. And that's how I found this lump that was really kind of wedged in there under my armpit. I was literally like standing like in profile, kind of flattening them, like, you know, like trying to, you know, just, you know, like really imagine my body without them.
As Eli navigated cancer treatment and the medical world, Eli says their gender identity as a non-binary person was mistaken or ignored at every turn.
Every time I was getting mammed, like I would just say, don't call me ma'am, I'm trans. And I'd be saying it over and over again to the same people. Mm-hmm. It was like adding like a 100-pound weight that I had to carry around on my body in addition to the normal kind of efforts that you make and like processes that you have to go through just to like get diagnosed and deal with breast cancer. It's a lot.
As exhausting as cancer was, with it came some unexpected options.
For me, I felt like this is a hell of a way to transition. The whole way through, I was like, what the f***? I started going to a support group for folks outside the gender binary, and I was like, oh, this is where I belong. And that was when I started to feel like maybe I have permission after all to actually embrace that I feel uncomfortable having breasts, to actually go after the fact that I've thought about top surgery for a long time.
Eli had also thought about self-harm in the past. Then cancer happened, and with it, a double mastectomy.
And that there was this hope that I didn't have to, like, slash myself open in order to achieve what I needed. Top surgery is different than a double mastectomy. Like, double mastectomy, they just take out the breast tissue. Top surgery, they give you a male appearing chest. Like, I'm not super interested in being male appearing or having a male appearing chest. Like, I just wanted a flat chest. I just didn't want breasts. Breast cancer has been part of my transition, but the transition is not like a traditional narrative, I would say, because it's not hard trans. It's not I was this and now I am this. I had doctors who advocated for me and who listened to me. They weren't always amazing about being trans savvy, but like ultimately, like what I got was a really gender affirming surgery. That's what happened for me.
So how is Eli doing now? Are they happy with this decision?
Yeah, I think what ended up happening was a surgery that made Eli feel at home in their body.
That's filmmaker Emily McKenzie. She's working on a documentary about breast cancer, and we'll put a link to her website on our website, whyy.org/thepulse.